Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask for understanding. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. You are the teacher, and we're so grateful that you pray to the Father, Jesus, and the Father sent Holy Spirit. Where would we be without you, Holy Spirit? I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about where I would be without your guidance, without your comfort and your protection and your strength and your encouragement in my life. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for who you are, that you're our teacher, and we need to be taught today. We're asking you to teach us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it is amazing to me how the Lord can just drop something in your heart and where it ends up going when he drops something in your heart. Last week during worship, he just dropped right in my heart. We had that song as we were worshiping the Lord that says, I worship you because of who you are. And the Lord just immediately just dropped in my heart, no, Lord, I worship you because I know who you are. Mm-hmm. I worship you because I know. Amen. Because I know who you are. And so from there, I went to Psalms 91, and I shared a little bit of that with you last week. And I just want to read the last couple, it actually will end up being Psalms 14, 91, 14 in the Amplified Translation. It's not the last verse, but it's close to the last. Psalms 91, 14. And then out of that, one word just resonated in my heart. One word. It's amazing what God can do with one word. How he can just start you off just looking and searching. But Psalms 91, verse 14 says, because he has set his love, talking about us, that's a lowercase s, a lowercase h, because he has set his love upon me, meaning God, therefore I, meaning God, will deliver him. Amen. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name and has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, kindness, trust, and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. And with a long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The one word that jumped out in me, which is the reason I say I worship you. God, I worship you because I know who you are. I know who you are because I know who you are. Because I know you're my healer. I have personally experienced you as my healer. I worship you because I know you are my healer. I worship you because you have shown me mercy in situations, Lord, and I worship you because I know your mercy. I worship you because I know who you are. Amen? Amen. I know who he is. Amen. And I can worship him because I know who he is. I can trust him because I know who he is. Okay, so the one word that jumped out at me is the word because. Just because. Because. So I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word because, and it's a conjunction. And some of us might remember those little rhymes that would come on Saturday morning. Conjunction, conjunction, what is your function? Little songs they would sing. Remember those little songs? Like Schoolhouse Rock and all that, you know? But so conjunction kind of, it brings together two thoughts. It brings together two thoughts. It adds them together and gives us the whole picture. Okay, so because means for the reason that. Because means for the reason that. Or since or on account of. So let's read this verse knowing the definition of because. For the reason or since or on account of you have set your love upon me. God. Don't get excited, church. Please, don't get excited. Therefore, I will deliver you and I will set you on high. Now, I'm putting you in there, making it personal to me because he's talking to me. Let's go back. For the reason or since or on account of you have set your love upon me, therefore, I will deliver you. I will set you on high. I've heard that minister before, set you on high means that God will lift you up so high the devil cannot jump high enough up to get you. He will lift you, he will set you on high. Just like Jesus said, I beheld Satan like lightning falling from heaven. Satan said, I will, and God said, you won't. And he fell. He fell, did he not? Yes, he did. He fell. Okay, now read the second part of that. Because for the reason or sense or on account of, you know and understand my name. Mm. Because you know and understand my name. Mm. For the very reason or sense or on account of, you understand, you know and understand my name. You have a personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, my kindness, and you trust and you rely on me, knowing I will never forsake you. No, never. He says, for the reason that you understand my name, I will never forsake you. For the very reason that you understand my name, you know who I am. You have a personal knowledge of my mercy and my love and my kindness and my trust. And you rely on my mercy and my kindness and my trust because that's who I am. That's my name, right? That's my name. And because you know this, you also know that I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can trust in me to deliver you. Always. Always. Not sometime, but always. Amen? Because you know my name. So then, this led me on a search. I wanted to search out the two reasons that the Lord God is talking about here. I wanted to search out what it means to set my love on Him. Because He says, for the reason you set your love on me, I will deliver you and I will set you on high. So I want to know what He means by this. And because He says, for the reason you know my name, and you have a personal knowledge of my mercy and my love and my kindness and my trust, and you rely on me, then you know I'll never leave you. Then I want to search out, what does it mean to know His name? Well, I want to look at this. I want to search it out. And I would dare to say that most believers, and I'm going to say believers instead of Christians, okay, because somebody else has to call you a Christian. You can't call yourself a Christian. Someone else has to call you a Christian. We just call ourselves believers. I'm a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. And then the person looking at you has to see Christ in you, and they have to identify you as a Christian. That's how it goes. They were first called Christians at Antioch. They weren't called that by one another. They were called that by other people looking at them. Most believers would say that I know what the Lord expects of me, right? Most believers would say, I know God. I have a knowledge of God. I know what the Lord expects of me. And that's like factual information. They know from the Word of God, right? I know what God expects of me. I know by the Word of God. I believe every believer that loves God would say that. That's factual information about God's Word. But how many believers have the will? Y'all, this is real. Now, this is real. This is where it comes to when Jesus comes back. He says, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. Y'all, this is where it gets real. This is where our faith in God and our walk with God. That's why I keep on telling you, and I've told you for weeks now, get in the Word of God. Eat it. Like the prophet said, I ate your word. I ate it. Get in the Word of God and eat it. Make it your food. How many believers, you know, factually, they know the Word. They know what God expects of them. They know what God expects of them. But how many have the will or even the intention or even the determination to act on the knowledge of what God expects of them? Y'all, this is real. How many believers really have the will or the desire or really intend to really act on what God expects of us? I heard a prophet say recently, and I do believe it, and I'm expecting it's going to happen, and if I didn't, I wouldn't, because everything else he said has come to pass, is that there's going to be a blanket of snow that's coming to America. It's going to start like, I believe he said February, so it's late February. A blanket of snow. And that snow in the spirit realm is symbolic of something. It's the glory of God. It's carved, this kind of cup. Now, how much of America it comes to, I don't know. I believe it's going to be South Carolina because I was in the hearing of this prophet. I was in the room when he spoke it, okay? So, and he said, this snow is it's a covering, and that's what the glory does. I know it's in us. Mm-hmm. I know we're not waiting for it to fall. Okay, I know that. But there are times when God's presence doesn't manifest in such a way. Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, you can't stand, you know, you feel that heaviness or that weightiness of God. You feel overwhelmed. You know, when you're in that time of worship or meditation with God, you feel so full that you feel like you're going to explode. You got to release it. You got, even if it's to the dog or the cat, you got to get it out. You got to go outside. You got to yell. You got to shout. You got to release it out of you. That this snow, this covering is symbolic of the glory of God. And with that, it is going to reveal the hearts of men and women. And it is going to start with the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So there's a place we have to examine ourselves. And I did say myself because it starts with me first. How much of God's word do I really know? I have knowledge of, but I have no intention whatsoever of following it and doing it. Mm-hmm. Or I haven't yet done it. I haven't yet practiced it. To me, setting my love on Him means not only do I have knowledge of what He wants me, this is His will, this is His desire for me, His word, but I have, my heart is so set on Him that it is my desire, our desire that I have a determination to act on the knowledge of what He expects of me. See, we've forgotten that God expects something of us. God expects it of me. You know the difference between the sheep and the goats? The difference between sheep and goats is that sheep are doing what God tells them to do. True sheep of His pasture, goats are not. You know, when Jesus said He's going to separate, He's going to send His angels, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Well, if they're separated, they got to be together, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some in the church that think they're a sheep and they're actually goats. Ooh. Sheep are the ones that do, y'all. Ooh. Sheep are the ones that do. Ooh. Goats are the ones that talk about doing and they hang around with the sheep, but they don't do. Mm. Sheep are the ones. That's why Jesus said, the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. They know my voice. They know my voice and they follow my voice. Another shepherd they will not follow. This is setting our love on Him. This is knowing and understanding His name. That I not only have a knowledge. I mean, this is something we have to look at each other individually. Do I really have, is the intent of my heart to do what He expects of me? Setting my love on Him and knowing His name. Instead of loving myself most. See, this is what I mean about the glory that's coming on the earth, the manifestation of the glory of God that's flowing out of us as believers, that settling on the earth is going to reveal, really start to reveal the hearts of people. That's why God wants us to get prepared now. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to examine ourselves now so when this comes, we're going to be ready. We're not going to fall short. You know what? He's letting us know in advance, right? So I don't want this to catch me off guard. So here's some thoughts. Instead of loving myself most, am I willing to love Christ best and love others more than myself? Is this a deliberate act of my will to love others more than I love myself? It means, am I willing to lay down my life, laying myself out or putting myself out. You know how they say I go out of your way? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to put myself out on behalf of somebody else? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to inconvenience myself on behalf of somebody else so that they can know Christ? Mm-mm. The moment that we deliberately do something definite. Holy Spirit, I mean, I just really feel this so strong. He is so speaking. The moment that we, as believers, are deliberately willing to do something definite, either for God or for others, that cost us something, then we are expressing we have set our love on Him. Mm. You know why? Because there is nothing He can ask of me to do that cost me anything that He will not recompense and repay me for. And how He recompenses and repays me is so much more. Yes. Than what I ever think in my fleshly mind that I'm ever sacrificing. Mm-hmm. You know, really, as believers, we haven't sacrificed anything.
Not one thing.
Not compared to what He did. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
See, that's to me, that's what it means to set my love on Him. That God, my heart is, that I am definite about worshiping You. I am definite about serving you. I am definite. I am determined that I will, with every ounce of my fiber, by the help of your Holy Spirit, obey all of these instructions in your word. Not some of them, all of them. Every one of them. My Lord, my Lord. What about that part where Jesus said, I just hear the words of my earthly father. He said, you know, Jesus said, if you want to be like your heavenly father, then do something for someone that cannot in any way pay you back.
Amen.
They can do nothing for you. Then you are like your heavenly father. I've told Carol, I don't know if I've shared with anyone else, but one of the things I see this fellowship doing when we get into our new building, I don't know how God's going to work it out, but I see us preparing a big meal, just a big spread, and just inviting people, whether it's from Christ Central, go out into the hedges and the highways doing what Jesus said to do, and compel them to come in, not expecting anything in return from them. Jesus said, that's when you're
yes.
like my Father. When you do something for someone that cannot pay you back. That I go out of my way, that I do something that cost me something. My God, my God. That's what it means to set my love on Him. And God says, because you do this, just for the reason that you have done this, for the reason that you have done this, I will deliver you. Woo! I will deliver you. I will set you so high that Satan will not be able to touch you. Y'all, that's real.
Yes.
That's real. That is real. That reminds me of Jesus. Remember Jesus was sitting there talking to his disciples about what was going to happen. He was going to the Father, going to the cross. And he said, get up and let's go from here. For the prince of this world is coming. He has found nothing in me. Y'all, that's what it means to be a Christian right there. That's what it means to be sold out to God. That Satan can find nothing in you. Nothing to accuse you of before God. Y'all, that's what I'm aspiring to. That's what I'm aspiring to. That's my ambition in life. Not insisting on my own rights. Am I willing to forego my rights in favor of others? I favor you. I favor you.
Yes.
I don't have to be the boss. I don't have to do what pleases me in this situation.
Don't even want to be the boss.
That we live, that our desire is not only to please God, but also to please others. Stop and think about that. My desire is not only to please God, but to please others. I think as believers, most of the part, we got that right. That doesn't mean that you are violating any of God's word or you're giving up your standard in any way. But you know, I think for the most part, we as believers have that right. We want to please God. We put God first. But how often do we do things just to please somebody else? Just because it causes somebody else pleasure, I'm doing this. Just because I'm foregoing what I want just because I know it makes you happy.
Wow.
I'd rather have broccoli, but I know you don't like broccoli, so I'll make green beans. Simple things like that. You know what I'm saying? Just simple things like that. That is what it means to have set our love on God to me. That's what it means because, you know, I take the last place because, you know, the way up with God is
down.
Yeah, yeah.
First shall be last.
Because Jesus gave us a perfect example. He said, I didn't come to be served. He said, I came to serve. And I thank God that's what this body, I believe we have a good handle on that. But I believe the Lord wants us to go deeper and deeper into this. Deeper and deeper. We want to set our love on high. What? You know why? You know why I want to set my love on Him? Because I want to know that everything I ask Him for pleases Him and He does it. I want to have all my prayers answered. I want all my prayers to be answered. And when I set my love on Him, that means my desires are His desires. Y'all, there is nothing in this world that I hold on to that is more important to me than having my Heavenly Father be so pleased with me, he says, just for the reason that, just for the reason that you have set your love on me, I will give you this thing that you are asking me for. You know, it works both ways, because when your heart's set on him, you won't ask him for anything. You will not never ask him for anything that doesn't please him. Never. And you will get everything you ask him that pleases him. Everything. Oh my goodness. Okay. It simply means I do what he asks of me. That's all it means. That's it simple. It's like Mary told the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Just do it. I do whatever he asks of me. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, all of us. And we have turned everyone to our own way. What does that mean, to turn to your own way? It simply means that we do what we want to do. I don't want to turn to my own way. We say the Lord is our shepherd. We say the Lord is our shepherd, right? Don't we say that? Yeah. And I want to say to all of us, me including, pointing the finger at me first, is he really? Yeah. Is he really? Is he really my shepherd? You know what it means? The word Lord there means, I looked it up. I looked up the word Lord there in Psalms 23:1. I'm sorry, I put a zero there. I didn't mean that's wrong. Psalms 23:1 is number 3068 in the Hebrew. It means self-existent. To be Lord means he is self-existent. I mean, it's Jehovah, right? Mm-hmm. It means that he does not depend on anyone or anything other than himself to be who he is. Did you get that? Mm-hmm. The Lord is self-existent. He does not depend on anyone or anything to be who he is. He's self-existent. He's not dependent upon any other individual, any other thing to make him who he is. Okay, Luke 6:46. Lord, the word Lord there in Luke 6:46 is number 2962. It means supreme in authority. Mm-hmm. Supreme in authority. Y'all, I keep on hearing this over and over and over again. Why do you call me Lord when you do not do the things I tell you to do? Mm-hmm. Why do you call me Lord? So let's substitute the word Lord there for this definition. You ready? These are the words of Jesus. It's in Luke 6:46. Y'all, this is serious. This is serious. Why do you call me the self-existent one? Why do you call me the one who depends on no one else or anything else to be who he is? Why do you call me supreme in authority? And then you don't practice what I tell you to do. My God, stop and think about it, y'all. If he's supreme in authority, and the buck stops with him, right? As they say, right? If he's supreme in authority, y'all, then he has all the authority to decide where I'm going to spend eternity, right? Mm. He has all the authority to bless me or withhold blessings. Is that right? Mm-hmm. If he has all the authority, then I just common sense tells me if he has all the authority and God's given him all the authority, he's going to make all the final decisions about everything that concerns everything that's going to happen in the world or has ever happened. Then I need to be listening to him, and I need to be doing what he tells me to do. Okay, the second thought here, let's move on. I know that's pretty heavy. I know that's pretty heavy. I feel the heaviness of that, but y'all, it's reality. We have got to do what he asks us to do in everything, y'all, and in everything. In everything. We can't pick and choose what part of this word we want to obey. We have to obey in everything, y'all. In everything. I mean, you know, bridle the tongue. Bridle the tongue. I'm speaking to myself right here, okay? We put bits in a horse's mouth, and we tell them where to go. And this little rudder in a ship controls a mighty ship. A little rudder controls a mighty ship and tells it what direction to go in. But we can, the tongue is a fire that sets on course a fire. The whole a fire can set something on a fire for the glory of God, or we can set it for destruction. But yet we have not learned to tame that little tongue. If any man can tame his tongue, he is perfect. Oh my God. He is perfect in all his ways. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He just gave me a perfect example of what I'm teaching about today for me right here. Okay? You want to have your, you want to set, you show me that you have set your love on me. Bridle that tongue. Bridle that tongue. He's speaking to me. Oh, he's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. Amen. Okay. Psalms 23. I'm going to go back and forth from the Amplified to the Passion Translation. I'm going to go back and forth here. You ready? Okay. This is good. This is so good. This is so good. Okay, let's start. In Psalms 23, you're going to see six names for the Lord, Jehovah. And he might even show you more. I just know of six right here. I just know of six. And I learned this years ago from Marilyn Hickey. Amen. Okay, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now you can see on your list right there that that's Jehovah Raha. Yeah, the Lord is my shepherd. That's part A. That's 1A. The Lord is my shepherd. There's another one in the verse 1. Let me read all of that first verse, okay? The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. That's the Amplified. I shall not lack. What do you think I shall not lack is? Jehovah Jireh. Okay. Let's go back. Jehovah Raha, Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd, that's on your list, is spelled Jehovah. R-A-A-H, the Lord my shepherd. Psalms 23:1. See it on your list?
Yeah.
The short list? Okay. Okay. In the Passion Translation, I'm going to read this. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. He's my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Because he's my best friend and my shepherd, I always have more than enough. Because what does a shepherd do? He feeds, he guides, and he shields. I always have more than enough because the Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Raha. Now, in the bottom of the Passion Bible there's a footnote. And it says a shepherd is taken from a root word, taken from the root word Ra'a, which is also the Hebrew word for best friend. Ra is taken from a root word, which in the Hebrew means best friend. The translation includes both meanings. The translation of the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'a, means he is my best friend. He is my best friend. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read it here. The word most commonly used for shepherd is taken from the root word Ra'a, which is also the Hebrew word for best friend. This translation includes both meanings. He is my best friend. He's my shepherd or best friend means the same thing is what I'm trying to say. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, that means he is your best friend. He is your best. You can't have a best friend if you don't spend time with them.
That's right.
You don't become your best friend. Right? The Lord Jesus, you're my best friend. Okay, B, 1B. I shall not lack, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I want to encourage you to go and look up these scriptures and study them out on both of these sheets, okay? Just look them up for yourself. For time's sake, I'm not going to go into all that. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. Okay, I'm going to read this now in the Passion. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. Doesn't that sound so peaceful? He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. And his love is where I rest. I can rest in his love for me. That he's always going to do the best for me, the best by me. That he's always looking out for my best interest. Y'all, always. Always. His tracks, he's making footprints. His tracks take me, when I'm following them, right, to an oasis of peace. The quiet brook of bliss.
Shalom.
Yes, that's right. Jehovah Shalom. He leads me beside the still waters. The Lord is peace. He is peace. The Lord is peace. And that peace lives in you. Now here's a footnote in the Passion Translation also. It says the Greek word for love is agape, right? We know that. Which is the merging of two concepts. For agape merges together two ideas. Ago, A-G-O, means to lead like a shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? Agape comes from two words that merge together. Ago means to lead like a shepherd. And pao, P-A-O, is a verb that means to rest. He leads us to the place of rest in him. His love is our resting place, y'all. You know what? It's so true. It is so true. When you know how much someone loves you, you rest in that love they have for you. You're not anxious about it. You're not worried. You know they won't betray you. You know they'll always have your best interest. When you really love someone, you know that person loves you and they've set their love on you and you've set your love on them. You rest in that love. You're at peace. It doesn't matter what anybody comes and tries to tell you about that person. You have, your heart is rested in that, in the love you have for that person. And you just like, no. Not gonna hear it. That's what love does. That's what I told you about Tammy last week when I had a chance to go around the room and to say what I was thankful to God for everyone. And you weren't here to hear yours, Shirley, so I'm gonna go ahead and tell you yours now again. But I said it here in the room. I said, what I'm thankful to God about you is that the mantle or the spiritual authority or the strength that God had placed in your mom, you're carrying that on. I see it in you. And what I love, and I even said it better now than I said it last week. I can repeat how I said it. But what I love about Harris, I said, just Harris. When Harris just steps in the room, the place just lights up. It just lights up when Harris. Harris, I appreciate that about you. I'm so thankful for who you are, Harris. Harris, when you step through the door, it just lights up in here. I'm so thankful for that. But what I mentioned about Tammy last week is that I have seen in her through the years since we've been in this place, I have seen how the love of God, how she just walks in the love of God, that Tammy always looks for the good in everybody in every situation. I've been in conversations where things will start to come up in a different way and she just turn it. See, that's what I mean. When you rest in the love that God has for you, the enemy cannot tell you anything about God, anything about the Lord, because you know who he is. Ma'am?
Carolyn.
You had a thought, Carolyn?
Carolyn didn't hear hers either.
Oh, Carolyn didn't hear hers either. Oh, my goodness. Well, Holy Spirit just have to give it to me new and afresh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I love and appreciate about you, Carolyn.
Oh, that's what it was. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Not only for your faithfulness, but for your love for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Because when you speak the Word of God, it makes me go and search a little bit deeper and look a little bit deeper. And that's what I love and appreciate about you, the Word of God that is in you, rich in you. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Tammy. That's what I mean about the good. She didn't want to left out. See what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about? Amen. So, His love is our resting place. Okay, verse 3. We found 2 there, right? We found 3. No, we found 3 so far. So, verse 3. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Not because I earned it, but for His name's sake. Let's read it.
Jehovah
Sikkenu. Sikkenu. To Sikkenu? Yeah, thank you, Marilyn Hickey. That's how I learned how to pronounce that word. Let me read this from the Passion Translation. There's 2 there, actually. There's 2 there.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me read this, and maybe you'll get it. That's where He restores and revives my life. Y'all, in His love, and this oasis of His love, just sitting down with Him and just saturating yourself in His Word and His love, that's where He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to His name. This is what I am proclaiming over Noel, who has asked us to pray for him. Lord, you open before Noel Espinosa the pathway that is your pleasure.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And you lead him along. You lead his footsteps in the right way to go. And he will bring honor to your name.
Amen.
That's my confession over him. Okay, so did you get what that is? He refreshes and restores my life by myself. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha.
Okay, the Lord
that heals.
Yes.
Okay. He restores your soul. He's the Lord your God that heals you.
Amen.
He's the Lord your God that heals you.
Amen.
Okay? There's a footnote here. There's a footnote here in the Passion Translation that I want to read for you. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. He causes my life or my soul. In the Hebrew, the word for soul is nephesh. N-E-P-H-E-S-H, nephesh. He causes my life or my soul to return. So often life drains out of us through our many activities, but David found that God restores our well-being by pursuing what pleases God in resting in Him. You restore my soul. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord my God that healeth me. That healeth me. You know how they've discovered, and it's been around for a while, I know I've heard Carmen and Shirley talk about this, that I know it was around a long time ago, this thought before I even knew it, that if you deal with the core of your being your belly, your belly, and you get that healed and right, it affects the rest of your body. See, that soul is the core of your being. When your soul is healed and refreshed in God, it flows out through the rest of your body. That's what it means when we say, He is Jehovah Rapha. He restores my soul. Daily He restores my soul. Daily. He is the Lord my God that heals me. Okay? So you got 2 there in verse 3, right? Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Tsidkenu. Well, let's talk about Jehovah Tsidkenu. The B, 3B. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, upright and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Why? Because He's an all-sufficient one. For His name's sake, He leads me in the right path, because all He knows how to do is to do right and to be right. You know, God does not go to anyone else for advice. God does not go to anyone else for a plan. God does not go to anyone else. I know this sounds so clichéic or even childish maybe, but think about it. He's self-existing. He is self-existing. He doesn't go to anyone, or He doesn't need anything to make Him who He is. And the one that is self-existing abides in me. That's why He can always lead me in the right path for His name's sake. Because that's just who He is. That's just who He is.
So I just have to stay tuned into who he is, right? For his name's sake, because he is self-existing. Who else could do this? No one but him. You've got, the Lord says, no one else can do this for you. It's for my name's sake. No one else. He doesn't lean on anyone else to do this. He is totally dependent upon himself and who he is to lead you in paths of righteousness. And maybe that's why he says, don't lean on my own understanding, right? Mm-hmm. Don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on me. And all we have to do is acknowledge him. Mm-hmm. And then wait. 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 Do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will do what? He will direct your path. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is full of doing right. Now I want to share some thoughts with you about this, and then we'll move on to the next verse. I think this is really important. You know, we studied A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. And we're sheep of his pasture, right? Is that what he's talking about? The Lord's my shepherd? We're being compared here to sheep, right? What do shepherds do? David was a shepherd. Shepherds pasture sheep. Shepherds lead sheep, right? Sheep are, and I'm reading this from his book, page 70 through 73, and some things I'm going to paraphrase, okay? Y'all, this was so rich when I reviewed this again, y'all, this is so rich. And it goes right along with the Passion Translation, a footnote right there about him leading us in paths of righteousness. I'm going to put this together for us real quick, okay? Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. Now, when I read this about sheep, I want you to think about mankind. I want you to think about us. Us. If we are, now, so I'm just going to put us. I'm not going to say she, I'm going to put us. If we are left to ourselves, we'll follow the same trails until they become ruts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need a shepherd. Mm-hmm. We got a shepherd, the Lord Jesus. They will follow the same trails until they became ruts, graze the same hills until they turn into desert waste. They'll pollute their own ground. Sheep will stay in the same place, pollute their own ground. You know, what goes in must come out. Mm-hmm. Pollute their own ground and stay in the... Yeah, they will. They'll stay. Sheep are dumb. Mm-hmm. They're dumb animals.
What did they say about us?
No. I'm just dumb in the sense that, you know, that God hasn't abandoned us. Right. We need a good shepherd, I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay? Until they corrupt it with disease and parasites. Mm-hmm. Y'all, if we stay in the same place that we are with God... If we're in the same place with God this year that we were last year, we guess what? We are polluting that area we're living in. Oh. I want you to stop and think about it. Why would I say that? Because you're feeding on the same thing, and you're relieving yourself of the same thing. When you're meant to move on to new pastures and new things in God, new revelations from God's Word keeps you new and alive. That's why he said you need fresh bread. Give me this day my daily bread.
That was like the children of Israel.
Yeah, exactly.
When God took them to a good place, why we gotta move? Mm-hmm. Everything is good here. Mm-hmm. And you know, and God would provide, and you get there. And now that's just like us. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about us. I say the children.
Oh, I know.
Israel,
we're sheep of his pasture.
Children.
Yes,
you know,
we're in the same bunch.
And he would provide, and we get there. Who wants to move? And then he moves you, and it's rough.
We start
the
squealing.
Water was bitter.
Yeah.
Why you move me from perfectly clean water to bitter water?
I tell you why. He said I did this to test what was in you.
Yes,
Oh, I know. But think about it as sheep in the natural. We'll tear up the land. We'll make it a wasteland. We'll make it in rut. When God says, no, I want to move you on to something fresher and something new in me. I want to keep you alive and full of life and vitality. Ma'am.
When God told them to take just enough and he'd give them fresh bread the next day.
That's right. The manna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, they decided, okay, you know what? We don't believe nothing he said.
Yes.
And we're going to get that.
We don't trust
then
him.
Then when it turned into worms.
Maggots, yeah. Yeah.
They got mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like us.
That's right.
God, how can you do this to me when I've been serving you these many years and you did this to me? He didn't do anything.
No.
Testing the water.
That's right. That's correct. And that's the difference. When you set your love on him, you can trust him. If he says on the sixth day, gather enough for the seventh day, because you won't have it on the seventh day.
Yeah.
And there were some that didn't do that, went out the seventh day, and they were hungry that day.
Because
there was nothing there.
Disobedient.
Yes.
God help us.
So we don't have because God's not a good God. We don't have because we don't obey and follow his instructions.
Yeah.
Sheep just cannot get along anywhere by themselves or anywhere. Sheep just can't get along anywhere. You can't put a sheep out anywhere and just leave them there and abandon them there. But they have to have a shepherd. They require careful handling and detailed direction. And that's what God's word does. God's word gives us detailed directions. And I thought this was very interesting. And I'll share this with you. I thought this was very interesting. A good shepherd this is from this book that we studied. A good shepherd deliberately leads their sheep into a fresh range about every day. Deliberately.
New manna every day.
Deliberately.
Ooh.
In advance, so the sheep, okay, a pattern of grazing is worked out carefully. I want you to say, God's already worked out a pattern of where you need to graze every day. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You ever been, I'm reading this book. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm reading this, you ever been in this place? I know you have. You're going to agree with me. I can already hear you going, You're reading a certain book in the Bible, and you get one phrase, and it takes you off somewhere else.
Oh.
And before you know, God said, honey, you're supposed to be grazing over here today. This is where you need to eat today. You understand what I'm saying? He has already prepared, just like the shepherd has already prepared a pattern. He has already mapped out where he's going to take his sheep in advance before that day gets there. He's already set a pattern where they're going to graze.
Wow.
Ooh. It's the same way with the Lord and us. He has already patterned your life for what you need to eat out of. Oh my God, this day, Lord, give me my daily bread. Mm-hmm. Now I'm reading in this certain passage, and that's good news because you need to have a deliberate plan in the Word of God. But Lord, if there's something in here, just like that one word he caused me to see, because. Mm-hmm. Just that one word. Because started something. All this.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Speaking about the manna from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It was the people that call it manna, not God.
Bread from heaven. God called it bread from heaven.
They call it manna.
Uh-huh.
And manna means what? Is this or what is it?
Oh my goodness.
That's what it means. We've been on it, sister.
Amen. They've been grazing. Hallelujah.
I was shocked because I thought God said it.
What is this anyway, though?
What is this? Share that with me when you got it.
Oh, that is good. That is so good. Okay.
He said bread of heaven.
Yeah, it's the bread from heaven. Yeah.
Bread from heaven. Because which is Jesus.
Exactly.
Bread
there we go again.
It is Jesus.
Yes, the New Testament explains the old.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am the bread come down from heaven.
Yeah. Can you imagine how they said, what is this?
Oh my God. Okay. Hello. And that same.
That's why they said that.
That same soulish idea was what operated in those that said the same thing to Jesus. By what authority?
Yeah.
What is, in other words, what is this? Who are you? I'm the bread of heaven. That's who I am. I'm the bread of heaven. Oh, that's rich. That is rich.
Okay. I know, but I was
Amen. So y'all get me back. Let's get back on track now. So we can, okay. A good shepherd deliberately leads his sheep onto fresh range almost every day. A pattern of grazing is worked out carefully in advance so that the sheep do not feed over and over on the same ground too long and too frequently. Some shepherds have set up a base camp and fan out from it in wide circles like lobes of a clover leaf, covering new pasturage each day, returning to camp at night. Let me explain that to you. Some shepherds, he learned this. Philip Keller learned this by watching sheep because he was a shepherd. That a good shepherd with his sheep leads him to fresh pasture every day. This is what David's saying in the psalm. You lead me to green beside still waters and green pastures for your name's sake, right? Okay. So a good shepherd, what they would do is here's their base camp, okay? And there's a spiritual application of this. It's so rich and so good. As sheep, so he would take the sheep, this is their base camp, and he would lead them in a circle like this to graze the land. And at night, he'd bring them back to their base camp, okay? The next day, he'd do them out again, like a three-leaf clover. He'd lead them out in a circle for them to graze all day, and they'd come back to base, come back to home, to sleep, where it was safe, and then he'd do the same thing again. And all the time, what's really happening, and the sheep don't realize it. The sheep don't realize it. They're going, now, okay, this is a base camp. Well, they already grazed that land, right? Isn't that right? They already grazed that circle and came back into base camp. So what does the shepherd do?
Further
up. Leads them up a little higher. He leads them up a little higher. This is your, he makes another base camp. Circle again. Before the sheep know it, because they're following their shepherd, they have reached the top of the mountain.
Wow. That's beautiful.
He will set you on high.
He will set you on high. God does us.
He will set you on high. Now, this Passion Translation reads this very beautifully. I'm going to read it. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Here's the footnote here. When it says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that's how most of us know that passage, right? It translates, or circular paths of righteousness. Circular paths of righteousness. It's a common trait for sheep on the hillside of Israel to circle their way up higher. That's how the shepherd leads, and he circles their way up higher and higher. See, he's leading them, and the sheep don't have any idea really where he's taking them. Why? Because they trust the shepherd. And they're just following him, right? They know he's going to take good care of them. They really don't have any idea, really, honestly. Do they? No, they're just following him. And all the while, and maybe, and y'all, maybe, you know, I don't know, sheep, you know, well, obviously you can't take a sheep straight up the hill. They're not goats. Okay, so he has to follow that circular pattern, because when he's following that circular pattern to get him up the hill, it's easier to get him up there. Isn't that the same way the Lord deals with us?
Yes.
He has great expectations for us, but if we knew everything that God expected of us and was going to do in us, my God, if you knew everything, if we knew everything where God was going to place us and what God was going to do,
no. I heard a story about two shepherds met with their sheep, and they all bundled up together. Someone asked, how do you know which is your sheep? They know my voice. At the time I call, they just follow.
That's right. They're all mixed in together. And that's what shepherds would do. They would mix their flocks in together. But when that shepherd made that sound that sheep knew, they followed. But why? Because they trusted. The Lord is my shepherd. I trust him. I lean on him. He guides me. He feeds me. He takes care of me. Because you know who I am. Because you know my name.
Because you know his name, you can trust him. I know he's Jehovah Rapha. I know he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. I know that he's Jehovah Raha, my shepherd. I know he is my Jehovah Jireh. Why? I have tested him and proved him in this.
Amen.
Even when I was on the wrong path, he was there with me to guide me and get me back on the right path for his name's sake. They eventually form a path that keeps leading them higher. This is what David is referring to here. Each step we take following our shepherd will lead us higher, even though it may seem like we're going in circles. Lord, I'm not making any progress. No. I'm leading you. You're going higher and higher. You don't realize it, but you're going higher and higher. For my name's sake. He says, I do it because for my name's sake, because I am the self-existing one. I am who I am. And I can do this because I'm the only one that can do it. I lead you in the right path because I'm the only one that can lead you in the right path. There's nobody else that can lead you but me. You know what? And something else, and we're going to move on real quick because I know Carol and I have to do the input. But, you know, this, Philip Keller says something very important here, y'all, very important. He says, this is a crucial place in our life. It's a pivot point on which, what he says, Christian, I'm just going to say believer, on which a believer either goes on with God or at that point he goes back from following God. When God starts to lead you in a path that you wouldn't choose, you wouldn't go that way, but you know he's telling you to go that way. This is a critical point in the life of a believer. Either you're going to follow him and you go that way, or y'all, it's only, if you don't follow him going that way and you're standing still, you're actually going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That is a crucial point. It is a fearful point.
It's a fearful point,
God. Y'all, when God leads you on and says, no, you do it this way, you go in this direction, this is how you handle it, this is what you're supposed to do. I don't care what the others around you are doing. This is what you're supposed to do. You're my child. You're called by my name. You handle it this way. You do it this way. I'm leading you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. It's not about you. It's about me and about my kingdom. And if at that point, that's a pivotal, crucial point in the life of a believer. We decide at that point, no, God, I don't want to do it.
And you're stuck.
And that's how, you know, backsliding is not something that happens overnight. And God is telling us these things to get us prepared and warning because, you know, when God's glory is revealed and we're in the glory, I'm not saying the glory's coming. We're in the glory. We're going to have a manifestation. We're in the glory. It is going to require things of us, y'all. It is going to require things of us. And we've got to make up our mind. I am determined right now. I am going to follow the paths of righteousness. We've got to be determined. I'm going to follow his way. Let's go on to verse 4. Okay, verse 4, there's another one there. Yes, even though I walk through the deep, sunless valley, the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. You know which one that is? Your rod to protect me and your staff to guide me. They comfort me.
Ever present.
Yeah, Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, yes. The Lord is there present. Even though I walk through the deep, sunless valley, the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide me, they comfort me. Okay, in the Passion Translation. Lord, even though your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have.
That is good.
Did you get that?
That is good.
Fear will not.
That is good.
Isn't that good? That's a good translation. Fear cannot conquer me because you already have. You already have conquered me.
That
means I've set my love on you, God. That means I'm determined. I'm going to do it your way, not my way. Isn't that is good, isn't it? This translation is so blessed to me, Shirley. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have.
Amen.
Look at that. Your authority is my strength. Mm. Your authority is my strength and peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near.
Amen.
I'll never be lonely. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. Verse 5. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. Okay? Surely only goodness. No. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. In other words, God gives you the victory. He prepares a table right before you in the presence of your enemies. In the presence of your enemies, God gives you the victory. What do you think that is?
Jehovah Nisi.
Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is my banner or my victory. Mm. Isn't that something? Mm. See, this is what the shepherd is telling us he is to us. Look how much we've missed. We'll go back and look at it. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and your presence shall be my dwelling place. Mm. Now this is one last thought I want to share with you. Let's read it from the Passion Translation. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Mm-hmm. But right now, we dwell in his presence also. Mm-hmm. Here's a thought for you. I'm gonna end it with this. He says, surely your goodness and your mercy, and I love this in the Amplified Translation, surely only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. Only. Mm-hmm. Only goodness, mercy, and surely means it's settled. It's settled, God, that only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love follow me all the days of my life. Through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Mm-hmm. Now, why would I repeat that? Well, let me share something to you about that I'm learning about the Hebrew mindset. We know the Hebrew looks at time in a circle, right? Mm-hmm. We know that, right? Isn't that interesting how he takes the sheep in a circle? Mm-hmm. All that works together, okay? The Hebrew mindset, the way they look at the past and the future is not like our Western mindset. When the Hebrew looks at the past is in their face. You know why? The past is in their face. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they can see it already happened. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Mm-hmm. But the future is behind them. Mm.
Opposite.
Come on. Mm. The past is in their face, mm-hmm. but the future is behind them. That's why we can say, I don't fear the future. Mm-hmm. I don't fear what's behind me. Mm-hmm. I don't fear what's yet to come in my life. It's my future. I look forward to when it's right in front of my face. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because his unfailing goodness and mercy has got a hold of my future. Mm-hmm. His mercy and goodness shall follow me.
Yes.
What's following me? My future is behind me. Mm-hmm. His goodness and his mercy follows me. It's like it's stuck to mm-hmm. my future. Come on, church. Mm-hmm. His goodness and mercy is attached to my future.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't fear tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't fear my future, because his goodness and mercy is following me. It's got itself just latched onto my future that's behind me. Cool, I can't see it. I can't see my future behind me, but I can see, according to his word, that goodness and mercy has got a hold of mm-hmm. it, and it's going to be nothing but good for me.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Glory to God.
So that's what Jesus tells us. Don't worry about tomorrow.
No.
It's not promised to you. Yesterday is gone. So your past.
I already got it. He's already got your past. He's got your past. Well, he's already got your future. He's got your past too. He's already got your future.
But when you said the past is in front of you like this, that reminds me that God wants us to remember what I should be always seeing, all the goodness and mercy that he's already
That's
done.
I mean.
Because I forget, and then I get fearful. But if I got it right here,
what about that?
Then I can remember this, and you got the goodness and mercy back here.
That's right.
You can't lose.
Way. I'm covered either way. Amen.
Wow. Just so think about a lost wife. God said, don't look behind.
Yeah.
She would have kept her eyes on the prize.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Moving forward.
That is right. Because she looked behind because she wanted what was back there.
Yeah.
And she knew what was back there.
Yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Right?
It was there. She knew the path. It was it was right there in her face that this is not good. I'm being taken out of this bad situation and moving forward. No, I don't know what the future holds for God does, so let me move forward with Him.
Because His goodness and mercy is
following
me. He's leading me in the paths of righteousness. He's teaching me not to lean to my own understanding, but all my ways acknowledge Him.
He
just acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. And not to be wise in my own understanding. Amen. I'm going to read the Aaronic blessing. Amen. And then we are... the blessing is Psalms 23.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you. Psalms 23. Amen. So we speak this over ourselves and over the body of Christ. The Lord is our shepherd. With your help, Holy Spirit, you are Jehovah Raha. To feed, guide, and shield us, we shall not lack. You are Jehovah Jireh. You make us to lie down in fresh green pastures. You lead us beside the still and restful waters because you are Jehovah Shalom. You refresh and restore our life. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake because you are Jehovah Rapha and you are Jehovah Tsidkenu. Yes, though we walk through the deepest sunless valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear or dread evil for you are with us, Jehovah Shammah. Your rod protects and your staff guides. They comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, Jehovah Nisi. You anoint our head with oil, and our brimming cup runs over. Surely only goodness and mercy and unfailing love shall follow us all the days of our life. And through the length of our days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be our dwelling place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you, presenting gifts, and keep you. May Yahweh, He who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, He who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. And may He be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. May Yahweh lift His countenance on you. May Yahweh, He who exists, lift up and carry His wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your aid, supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete, so that you can walk in victory moment by moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural help, supernatural peace, supernatural welfare, supernatural safety, soundness, tranquility, supernatural prosperity, perfection, fullness, and rest, supernatural harmony, as well as the absence of agitation and discord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.